Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the AdDrop Podcast. Rare is the time, being a Connecticut native born and raised in Hartford, I get to talk to a Connecticut football coach, and I am proud to have as my guest. He's the head coach of the Wesleyan University Cardinals, Coach Daniel DeCenzo. Good afternoon, I guess, out there, Coach. How are you today?
Doing great, man. Life is good up here in Connecticut. It's a great place to be. Spring is popping. Our guys are training hard. Life is good.
Now, when did you know that football coaching, or actually coaching in general, would be your path?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was fortunate to have great mentors in my life. And, coming from my dad growing up, he was heavily involved with sports. He was a principal. And then I had a great stepfather in my life as well. And both those were great male role models for me. And then my coaches in high school were outstanding. My wrestling coach is one of the best around. My high school baseball coach is the winningest coach in New England. My high school football coach is the winningest coach in New England as well. So grew up in a small town, New Hampshire, and was lucky to just have great people in my life, teachers, coaches the whole way through. And just the opportunity to give back and have that impact on a young man's life is something that's very gratifying for me, and something that motivates me every day to be better. And I'm very fortunate to do something I love to do and get paid to do it.
Now you coach and you wrestled and played football. Was that why do you think that now it seems as though the era of specialization as far as younger athletes being able just to pick a sport and going through it, and what do athletes miss when it comes to playing more than one sport?
Yeah, it's another great question. And I hate to see the specialization. My wife and I, we have three boys. They're young. So they're 6, 4, and 2. So we're just starting to get into them being active with sports, and we're just trying to get them involved with so many things. But again, when I talk to some people around town, they're like, well, my kid's just doing, soccer year round. I just want to be like, you're making a mistake. You want it to be active and doing a ton of things. We love to recruit kids that are multi-sport athletes, guys that are playing two or three sports in high school. On our team here at Wesleyan, we actually have about 15 kids that do two sports. So back in 2018, our lacrosse team won the national championship, and the captain of our football team was also the captain of the lacrosse team. And three football guys started on that team. So you take a lot of pride in seeing the other teams do well. Over spring break these last 2 weeks, our baseball team was in Arizona. One game, our two DBs hit 1 and 2 for the baseball team, and they scored 5 runs between the two of them. And always great to see those guys excel, in other sports. So something we love to see. The specialization, I think sometimes these kids get bad advice and just feel like they have to do it, or they're not going to get a scholarship. They're not going to make the professional league. They're not going to get to the next spot. And I think coaches at the college level, whether it's Division One, Two, or Three, love to see guys be athletic in multiple things. And you take a great athlete like a LeBron James or Russell Westbrook. Those guys could be pro in 10 sports. Those guys could have got scholarships in 10 things. So, if you're elite, they're going to find you. And again, I just think that opportunity to compete and do a lot of things is special. So I was fortunate enough to do three sports in high school. I did football and wrestling in college, and it's not for everybody, but it worked out really well for me, and I had a great experience.
As someone who wrestled and played football, I've been always an advocate of football players wrestling in the offseason because I think it teaches a different mindset as far as being able to constantly be disciplined and also teaches a leverage aspect. Do you think that coaches, football coaches, no matter what level, probably high school, whatever, should have a bunch of their players compete in wrestling because of what it teaches them?
I think wrestling is the best sport for any young person in the entire country. So, a few reasons. I think the character that it builds from that sport is better than anything you'll do. And I love football. I'll tell you this. I loved every football practice I ever went to. I didn't love every wrestling practice I ever went to. For you to get better at wrestling, you got to compete at a really high level every day and push yourself to exhaustion to be elite. And it's a challenge. And I think at the high school level, it's a great sport. I think it's really challenging college when you're maybe making your own meals and making your own schedule. So you got to really be dedicated at that level. But I just think the values it teaches when you're young, and then the training it does in the off season, it's awesome for how it translates over to the football field.
How did it teach you to kind of channel in that self-discipline and being able to play both sports and excel at both sports?
Yeah, again, for me in high school, obviously you get like a day off in between seasons in high school. And high school athletes are just used to that. They're used to being active, used to being busy. And I think at the high school level, if you're an elite athlete, usually, you're able to kind of get by at times without getting pushed every time you do something. At the college level, everyone was you at the college level. So everyone's really talented. So when I would finish football, I would need a good, you know, week or two to recover my body. And then kind of, it would take me another couple weeks to get in wrestling shape. But that discipline, it teaches you of how you got to get sleep, your nutrition, your training, your extra workouts. And usually, you know, unless you're wrestling heavyweight, you know, the weight kind of managing your weight from football to wrestling was definitely a challenge. So, but we love to recruit high school wrestlers that have no interest in wrestling in college, but have that wrestling background because they're usually really, really tough kids, both mentally tough and physically tough.
Do you remember your last pin?
I do. I could probably tell you everyone I ever lost to. I probably couldn't tell you everyone I ever beat.
When you had your last pin, did you, like, when you got up and looked around, you're like, wow, this might be it. Did you know that that would be the end of the career, or did you kind of think that there'd be more to it?
No, I kind of, like, we have a region tournament to finish our season than the nationals. So usually it's pretty finite in wrestling when you kind of know either you're in the finals and you win, you move on, or you're taking third, fourth, fifth, or not placing and you're not going on. So definitely had an idea when it was my last match. And fortunately, unfortunately, I won my last college match, which was great. But it meant I wasn't at the national finals when that happened. So
did you keep the shoes?
I did keep the shoes. Yeah. For a couple of years, I have no idea where they are now. So once you have kids, you lose out where a lot of things are. So,
oh yes. Yes, that is just a complete truth. Now, being at Wesleyan, this seems as though, just from someone local, like, people don't, who are not from New England, don't really understand the strength of New England college football. They see it as Harvard, Yale, Boston College. Can you discuss how deeper New England college football is than that?
Yep. That's easy for us here. I mean, I'm fortunate to work at one of the best universities in the country, a degree that truly is going to pay back for these guys for the next 40 years of their life. And, you know, you're going to a school with some of the elite students from across the world, really. And our community here at Wesleyan is outstanding. It's got a real vibrant campus, very diverse campus, from everything. From, we've got kids in our team from over 22 states. So geographically, we got kids from all over the country. I think football has done a great job nationally of, we've got kids of every race, every religion, every socioeconomic background, and that's the real world. And I think our team represents that really well, and it's something at Wesleyan that we're really proud of. From a football side of things, we've been able to get some of really elite players. And this past year, you know, our league had very strict rules during COVID, and our school had very strict rules during COVID. So we have two seniors this year that are doing grad transfer years. And essentially, their freshman year, you know, one kid, Nick Helbig, he was rookie of the conference for us, first team all league. The kid, Logan Thomason, was injured a little bit, didn't play. And I talked to both kids. I was like, hey, don't leave during COVID. Get a Wesleyan degree. You know, that's why you came here. Get a degree from one of the best schools. It's going to open up a lot of doors for you. So they did that. Those kids then played their junior, senior year. Logan Thomason was a receiver for us his junior and senior year. You know, was first team all league both years. Caught, you know, 50 plus balls both years. And then he graduated in 3.5 years. So that's just a credit to Logan and the young man that he is. He's local to Manchester High School, Manchester, Connecticut. Just an outstanding young man, great family, one of our hardest workers. And I think when your best players are your best workers, that makes my job as head football coach really, really easy. So just that, I can't say enough good things about these two guys. And so Logan, he finishes in December. He's got 2 years to play, and he was a mid-year transfer. So he got 8 Division I AA offers. And not where we weren't against him transferring. We were kind of acting as his agents, saying, hey, if you stay here and get a Wesleyan degree, you're a Wesleyan alum. We're going to root for it. We're going to help you any way we can. And he ended up at the University of New Hampshire on a full scholarship up there. And, you know, we know their staff pretty well. And they said he's competing hard and doing a great job. And we're excited to go up there in a few weeks to see him at spring ball. And, you know, he's going to be special. He's that type of kid. So he's 6'3", 215 pounds, runs well, jumps through the roof, competes, loves to go up and get the football. He's a really talented kid. And then the other kid we have, Nick Helbig, he was the 2-time defensive player of the year as a defensive tackle. And as you know from knowing football, you don't get defensive player of the year as a defensive tackle unless you're special. So he is, you know, his stats were great, but beyond his stats, I mean, you just had to count 2 or 3 guys to him on every play. He was just, he's 6'2", 280 pounds. He's probably the strongest player to ever play in the league. He's probably the best player to ever play in the league. He's a complete freak, and he's really, really talented. And again, since our league doesn't go to the playoffs, I don't think you have to see him on a national scene for just how talented he is, but he is that good. And he got offered 2 or 3 1A scholarships. All the 1AAs were on him. He had an official visit to Wake Forest over the weekend. They offered him a full ride. He's going to Wake Forest next year. So in Nick's scenario, he'll graduate. He has 1 fall left as a grad transfer. So when he finishes here in May, I'm sure he'll report to Wake sometime in the summer, and you know, he'll be up and running. But he is another kid who's an outstanding student, great leader, hardest working guy we have. And we're really proud of both those guys because they did it the right way. They're both Wesleyan alums now, and we're really excited to see what they do next year.
One thing I did notice is that when the two announced where they were going to transfer, the school via Twitter congratulate them. You rarely, or if ever, see a school congratulate players and be able to advocate for their players. What does it say about the Wesleyan family that they are Wesleyan alums, but they are, you know, and one of your coaches, I think it was, I forgot who, I want to say it was Coach Benoit, said, go be great. And that was one of the things that it stands out because it speaks to the character of not just the school, but the coach, you and the coaching staff. What does that say that the Wesleyan family is that tight knit?
Yeah, we definitely find it unique. And again, if those two kids are on our team next year, are we better? We definitely are. And I just thought it was in the best interest of them as young men. And they did everything right by us. They were captains for us. They were great students. Again, we're talking 3A, 3-9 students at one of the best schools in the country, and just great young men. So I said, hey, guys, you've done everything you can here. You know, this is a great opportunity for you, for your family. And again, they're both getting secondary degrees, master degrees at great schools at UNH and Wake Forest, just great academic institutions there. So we wanted to act as their agents and support them. I just think it's the right thing to do. I'm very honest and straightforward with my team. I'm honest and straightforward with recruits. When we recruit them, we don't want to tell a kid something that it's different when they get here. So again, I thought it was the best interest of them. We told our staff in the beginning, hey, this is how we're handling it with these two guys. And we want to support them. And again, they're Wesleyan football family for life. And I'm really proud of both of them. And again, I hope they excel at where they're at, because I think, you know, they're going to open up their eyes at just how talented this league is and how many good players are at the Division III level.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss the 2023 team and kind of get your view on the vibe of this upcoming season. But that's after break. You are listening to the Ad Drop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop Podcast. Terrence Biggs, head coach of Wesleyan University Cardinal. And as a coach, one of the things that in my research, I looked out and it was one of the things that I was most impressed with was the ability to just sustain drive. I want to say that the offense, your offense, they held the ball for 34 minutes per game. That's unheard of. What does, and when you see it, you automatically think, okay, they run the ball constantly, but you had a very good pass run balance. Does that speak to execution, game plan, or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. And number one, I think it starts with our offensive coordinator, Eric Ludwig. Lud's been with me for a long time. I think his greatest quality, which you don't see in this profession all the time, he doesn't have a huge ego. So he wants the best for Wesleyan football, Wesleyan offense, and however we can be successful, he wants to see it done. So if a grad assistant comes in and says, hey, coach, I think this is a good fit with how we're doing things, you know, he's going to listen to him. And, you know, every week he's constantly, you know, having new ideas and trying to put stress on defenses. And we see it, you know, on the defensive side in practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, or in the week when we're competing against them. So I just think he does a great job there. We hired a guy, Dave Benoit, who's been a coordinator a few different places. And those two guys work really well together. So I'm fortunate that Wesleyan supports our program, the sports here. They support our student athletes, and getting guys like Dave and Eric here are just two great young men that are good role models for our guys. And then what our philosophy is just try to get the ball in the hands of our best players. And we're no huddle, but we're not high tempo. So again, the kids got to know where to line up, where their splits need to be. I think how we practice translates to how we play, and really allows guys to get better every day, because we're not kind of sitting behind them telling them exactly what to do. They've got to kind of learn by doing. Obviously we film everything so they can learn on the field. They can learn to film in meetings. But I think our offense has done a great job with balance. I think our offense has done a great job putting stress on defenses. And, you know, I think the numbers speak for themselves, where we've averaged, you know, 425, 30 yards a game, 30 points a game, you know, roughly the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. And, you know, Coach Ludd does a great job, and our players buy into our system. And, you know, there's games where we've won 48-46, and there's games we've won 10-7. So, you know, both sides, you know, as the head football coach, I'm a defensive guy, but it's good for me in practice when our offense is beating our defense by making great plays, and our defense is beating our offense by making great plays. It's not good for us when we're beating one or the other when we're making mistakes. So I think our senior culture and our team culture does a good job of keeping guys accountable. and pushing one another in practice, but we definitely preach competition. And I think our offense just done a great job of ball security, ball control, and moving, being able to get some drives going and sustain an 8, 9, 10, 11 play drive, pretty frequently throughout a game.
One thing I've noticed is via film is that the offense is efficient. You have a couple of quarterbacks, you have a lot of people can run the ball, and you have talent, which is in a very stout offensive line at the Division III level. How rare is that just to have an offense be able to click on all cylinders, be it run or pass?
Yeah. So I might be viewed a little bit unorthodox than some other coaches out there. As a defensive head coach, I know what puts stress on our defense, and we played two quarterbacks the last 3 years. Well, as sophomores, Ashton Scott from Brockport, New York, was an all-league player for us. I think he threw 19 touchdowns and three interceptions. And then David Estevez was a kid we lined up at quarterback, at receiver, at tailback, kick returner, punt returner. And David was too good of a talent not to get the ball in his hands. So the balance was, with one football, how do we get the ball to all these guys? But we would practice how, with shuffling David and Ashton out pretty regularly. So our offensive line was used to it. They were the skill guys were used to the cadence. They were used to guys coming in and out. David and Ashton were used to it. And we thought it gave us the best chance to be successful. And that's why we did it. If I had, Tom Brady or, in his prime and guys like that, then I, you got Patrick Mahomes, you're only playing Patrick Mahomes. But we thought both kids were really talented. And, we beat Williams in our homecoming a couple of years ago. And Ashton's our starter. David Estevez, we won 28-21 in overtime in front of 10,000 plus here at homecoming. And it's our field's right in the center of campus. It's an awesome environment to watch a game. David threw a 55-yard touchdown as a quarterback. He returned a 95-yard touchdown as a kick returner. The last play of regulation, he lined up a tailback. He ran in a one-yard ball with like 10 seconds left to put the game into overtime. And then the first play of overtime, after we stopped him on four downs at quarterback, he ran a Q counter and scored 25 yards. So he scored all four touchdowns. And what people don't know is the drive going down, we went on an 11-play, 89-yard drive to tie the game, and we got the ball back with a minute 47 left. This is in 2019, and Ashton played the first 10 plays and converted a 3rd and 10 to 4th and 10 on the drive, and David scored the touchdown to go in. So here's Ashton, who went the whole way down. Then David gets the glory of scoring the four touchdowns. But I think as a team, as a staff, those two individuals, it takes a team effort to be great. And, that year we were 8-1 in our league, and we had a really good season. That was a huge win for us. And, when you have players that are dynamic and you got to find ways to use them, every year is different. And we kind of tweak our offense based on our players' personnel, what their strengths are. And, again, I don't know if we'll be a two-man rotation going forward, but with those two kids the last 3 years, it was definitely pretty heavy on that.
Now, looking at one on the offense and one on defense, can you give me an offensive player and a defensive player that we haven't discussed that people should look out for this season?
Yep. Obviously, we graduate Nick on defense and Logan on offense. Those are two elite players there. On defense, we've got some really talented guys at all three levels, whether it's D-line, linebacker, and DB. We've got a kid at corner, Wesley Abraham. He's from Iona Prep out of Long Island in New York. He's been a two-year starter for us at corner. We think he's really talented and a guy that, has done a great job in the weight room, in the off season, how he trains, his dedication to it. And he's really talented. And then that linebacker, we got a kid, Ben Carbeau, who we just think is really good. And Ben's from Mass. And then Mike Rowan is at the end. He was a second team all league guy for us. He had 10 plus sacks and I think 8 plus tackles for loss. And Mike's from Germantown Academy in PA. And those three kids on defense, we think we got, kind of a playmaker at each level, which I think makes you have a chance to be a pretty good defense, along with solid guys all the way through. And then on offense, you graduate a receiver like Logan Tomlinson. We have a receiver, Chase Wilson, and Chase is from Louisiana. And he was a really good player for us out of high school. Last year as a sophomore, his first year playing, his freshman year, he got a hurt foot and was out most of the season. Chase last year, I think he had 3 or 4 touchdown catches, or maybe 4 or 5 touchdown catches, and had some big plays for us. And he knows that, he's the guy with Simcoe and Logan getting out the door. So 80 catches are there. He's probably interested in getting about 70 of them if he can get them. So he's a really talented kid at receiver. And, I think he's going to jump off the screen next year when people are trying to defend us.
One thing I have noticed about the defense, you mentioned Mike Roan, where Mike is, I know the term relentless is overused, but just from clips, he doesn't stay blocked. There's no long sustained blocks. He's able to shed and keep going forward where he's never truly out of the play. When you look at that, especially as a defensive coach, is that innate or is that taught? The ability just to be relentless like Mike is?
Mike was a really good player for us out of high school. Like, we knew he was a really good kid coming in. And then what's interesting, Mike as a freshman, we had some good guys in front of him. So he only played in kind of some passing situations and towards the end of the season. And when we put him in, he played really well. And we actually, he's a DN and we moved him to D tackle for some of our pass stuffs. And he made, a couple sacks and some big plays and some cue pressure and kind of exactly what he said. He just didn't stay blocked. So, he wasn't a kid who came in and complained like, why aren't I playing or why? He just worked really hard every day. He just saw the example of the guys ahead of him just worked really hard and made it so we had to play him. And that's a great situation as a coach to be in when that guy's just a grinder and willing to work. And then, this year as a sophomore, he's an all-league player. He's in the league lead for tackles for loss, for sacks, and he is a tough guy to stay blocked. He can play inside and outside. And quite frankly, we think he's elite at both. As a D end and a D tackle, we're a four-man front, and he's really, really good. But he works really hard. He's a great kid. He's a guy other guys want to be around. But he is very talented, no doubt about it.
When you're not on the field or in the office, how do you get away from the game?
Yeah, it's a great question. So again, I'm very fortunate. Like I said earlier, I've had great mentors in my life. I'm fortunate. I love my wife. I love my kids, and we've got three boys, and I want to be in their lives. I'm fortunate to have a job where, in the fall, it's going to be really tough for me to see them all the time. I try to, and I tell my team, when we finish practice, I go right, I shoot right home. I'm about 30 minutes away. I drive right home to see them before they go to bed. And if I then got to get back on my laptop at, after they go to bed for 2 hours that night, then I'm fine doing that. But I want to see my kids before I get to bed there. In the off season, if I need to pick them up or bring them somewhere, I want to be that dad that's involved. As I think it's important. I can't preach to my guys to be great men, to be great role models, to hopefully be great husbands and fathers down the road if I'm not going to be that myself. So, I'm very fortunate that I work in a place where I can do those things. And that's one decision I made to this is where I wanted to be to be in my kids' lives is it's definitely easier, I think, pressure wise, Division III wise, than it might be a Division I when you're making $10 million. If someone sees you doing something that's not football all the time, they might question what you're doing, even though you've worked 150 hours that week. So, I'm fortunate to do work here and be in a great place and where I can have that work-life balance. But I love to be around my wife and kids. And then if I had enough money, I would coach football part-time and I would play a lot of golf. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, I couldn't retire right now. I could retire right now and play a lot of golf. So I should be better, but I'm all right. And I just love being outside.
Where's your favorite place to play?
My home course in Madison, Connecticut's my favorite course. I'm there a lot. I've got friends, I've got five or six buddies that retired from the military and they've actually ended up down in Alabama. So the end of April here, I fly down to Huntsville and we'll play around Huntsville and Birmingham for a few days on the Robert Trent Jones Trail.
Nice.
That's a good place. And again, those guys have served the country. And so I always like to see them and pay back a little bit, catch up with those guys.
Now, you're in Connecticut, my home state. It's known for having the best pizza in America. Where do you go for good pizza? Or if you're not a pizza guy, what's your favorite food and what's on your plate when you go out with the family?
All right. So I'm Italian and I can eat and I'm not afraid to eat. So I eat more than I should and you got to enjoy life. So I love pizza. My wife will have me ever eat everything. She doesn't love Italian like I do. So and she'll, we're having Indian, Thai, everything. She loves everything. So the best pizza in the world is in New Haven and it's wild how good it is compared to everywhere else where I like pizza. I've had good pizza from other places. When you go to New Haven, it's wild how much better that pizza is than anywhere else in the country. And, the whole shoreline's gotten pretty good because they got to compete with New Haven. So there's some of the Pizzas in Brantford and Guilford and Clinton. They have a chain of family restaurants that they're good. But when you're talking New Haven pizza, Frank Pepe's, Sally, Modern, and Bar, those four, it just hits differently when you have it. And when we have recruits here, it's about 25 minutes from campus here in Middletown. Guys should go down and check it out. I do an event at my house every year where I drive down and pick up like 40 pies, have a bunch of people over and, pick up whatever one's favorite is. But There is a line out the door at those at Frank Pepe Sally's Modern Bar from 10 a.m. to when they close at 10 p.m. And it is really that good. So I'm fortunate to live that close because I like pizza. I like to eat. And those places are great spots.
Frank Pepe's is the only place where I've actually asked a friend to wait in line for me and I'll be back. And I grabbed a spot in line and sat there for it. Like you said, it is the absolute best pizza on the planet. Wesleyan head football coach, Daniel DeCenzo, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Terrence, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.